Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you've ever tried to capture, a really stunning portrait of someone, a friend or family member, you probably know the struggle. Sometimes the picture just doesn't look quite right. Maybe the face seems a bit exaggerated, or the proportions feel kind of warped, especially if you were trying to get close.
Yeah, and if you just grabbed the nearest lens, which is often something wider, well, you might be making one of the biggest errors in portraiture without even realizing it. So our deep dive today is basically your shortcut to fixing that exact problem. We're tackling the pivotal role of focal length, which lens you choose when you're capturing people. And we're here to reveal maybe the biggest secret to getting those professional results, the really flattering photos. They often lie in the opposite direction of what you might think. We're talking longer focal lengths, like 105 millimeters, 135 millimeters, even 200 millimeters. Okay, let's unpack this. Why is it that a longer, maybe heavier lens often feels like the magic wand for making people look their absolute best?
That's exactly our mission for this dive. We're going to explore the precise optical reasons, but also the psychological ones for why these specific longer focal lengths just consistently produce more appealing portraits. And we'll look at the key mechanisms, what actually gives them that professional edge. It's really a fundamental decision that can elevate your people photography from just a snapshot to, well, something much more like art.
Okay, so let's start with that immediate problem, the one that makes people kind of shy away from close-up photos sometimes. Why does, say, your standard phone camera or a wide-angle lens, like a 24 millimeter, make features look so weird when we get right up close? Can you help us visualize that classic unflattering shot?
Right. What's happening there is distortion. Specifically, it's a perspective distortion or warp caused purely by being too close. When you use a short focal length really close, you're basically forcing the lens to capture features that are actually on slightly different planes, depth-wise. The sources are really clear on this. The bits closest to the camera.
Like the tip of the nose.
Exactly, the nose tip, or maybe the forehead if you're angling down slightly. Those get exaggerated compared to features just millimeters further back, like the eyes or the ears. And this creates this unnatural, sometimes almost comical stretch. Noses look bigger than they are. Foreheads can seem to bulge out a bit. The overall facial proportions just get distorted in a way that's not really true to how we see people in real life. It's definitely a near field perspective issue.
Okay, so if being too close is the main culprit, how do the longer lenses fix that kind of spatial warping? Is it just about standing farther back, or is there like an optical term for what's going on?
Well, distance is definitely the starting point. You have to move back. But the optical effect that really matters here is compression. See, a 105 millimeter or a 135 millimeter lens naturally forces you, the photographer, to step way back to get the same framing. And that increased distance inherently normalizes the perspective. It effectively squashes those different facial planes closer together optically as they're projected onto the image sensor.
Okay, compression.
Yeah. And this compression effect is what ensures that facial features keep their natural proportions. The nose doesn't dominate the face anymore. The ears don't look like they're pinned back. The look stays much truer to, real life perception. So it's not just correcting distortion. It's actively presenting the face in a really complementary way by slightly flattening that perspective.
That makes total sense for fixing the weirdness. But, beyond just fixing a problem, these longer lenses often create really beautiful images. How do we get that effect where the subject really pops out from the background, that lovely, creamy, blurred background look?
Right, okay, so that takes us straight into the art of background separation. And this is actually a mechanical advantage that's just built into the physics of longer lenses.
How so?
Well, the longer your focal length, the narrower your angle of view becomes, right? So because the lens magnifies the scene more and you have to step back further, it simultaneously creates a much shallower depth of field, even at the same aperture setting compared to a wider lens. Which means achieving that really nice blurred background, what photographers call bokeh, just becomes significantly easier. You don't have to shoot wide open necessarily to get it.
And this isn't just about aesthetics, is it? It's not just making the photo look pretty. It serves a very specific purpose in guiding where we look.
Exactly right. That background separation has a dual, really critical purpose. First, yeah, it eliminates distracting stuff. If you're shooting outside, maybe there's a busy sign or a messy bit of pavement or just visual clutter. A longer lens instantly helps blur all that out, makes it less distracting,
Fixes it up.
cleans it right up. But second, and this is arguably more important, the quality of that bokeh you get from good, longer lenses, often described as, smooth or creamy, it creates this powerful sense of three dimensions. By throwing the background so strongly out of focus, you really make the subject physically separate from their surroundings.
Yeah.
It just draws the viewer's eye straight to the person who's in sharp focus. It gives the image that distinct professional separation. The sources even mention it adding an ethereal quality sometimes.
That's a perfect transition, actually, because right. this idea of increased distance, it moves beyond just the optics, doesn't it? It gets into something much more human. This is where I think it gets really interesting. The psychological side of choosing your lens. How does being forced up close with a wide lens versus having that comfortable distance with a telephoto actually affect the model's mood and, you know, their final expression?
Oh, this is a huge factor. And it often gets overlooked in purely technical chats. Think about that wide-angle lens situation again.
Yeah.
When you have to use it really close to fill the frame for a portrait, the photographer is essentially invading the subject's personal space. It can feel quite intrusive.
I can imagine.
And that closeness often makes subjects feel uncomfortable, maybe a bit invaded, as you said. Mm. That can lead to tense shoulders, maybe a forced smile, just generally unnatural expressions. Mm. We kind of instinctively tense up when something's looming right over us.
I actually remember trying to do a quick headshot with a wider lens indoors once, and the person literally kept pulling their chin back almost defensively every time I brought the camera up. The photos were just stiff.
That's it, exactly.
Why?
Wide-angle lenses used too close can absolutely create tension. So the real beauty of the increased working distance you get with 105 millimeter or 135 millimeter is that it acts like a buffer zone. The subject doesn't feel like the camera's right on top of them. It allows them to relax, to behave more naturally, maybe even forget the camera's there for a moment.
And I suppose that distance helps the photographer too. It's not just about making the model comfortable. It probably affects the quality of the shot itself.
Absolutely. That extra working distance gives the photographer a much better, sort of more holistic perspective.
Yeah.
You're far enough back to really see the subject's overall posture, their entire body language, not just their face. You can also spot those little micro expressions much better. You get a clearer sense of the overall composition. And this is crucial. It helps with timing for catching those brief, genuine moments, those peak expressions that make a portrait really connect and feel alive.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly to the hardware itself, the actual quality of the image coming out of the lens. The sources seem to argue pretty strongly that even if you can fix some wide-angle distortion later in software, it's always better to get it right in camera if possible.
Yeah, that points directly to the sort of baseline technical quality and also the design specialization of these lenses. Wide-angle lenses, almost by definition, suffer from some inherent optical distortion, especially out towards the edges of the frame. And while, yes, post-processing software is amazing these days and can correct a lot of it, doing so often means stretching or squashing the original pixel data.
Uh-huh.
That can sometimes compromise the overall sharpness or detail.
Right. You're manipulating the original capture.
Exactly. Whereas longer focal lengths, particularly the ones designed with portraiture in mind, they typically exhibit very minimal inherent distortion right out of the camera. This ensures that facial features, body proportions, they just remain accurate across the whole frame. It gives you a much cleaner, more reliable starting point for any editing you might do.
And it's fascinating that these aren't just like scaled up versions of other lenses. They're often quite specialized tools.
Oh, they really are. Many of these longer focal lengths, like the 85 millimeter, 105 millimeter, 135 millimeter, they often represent the pinnacle of optical engineering within a brand's lineup. They're specifically optimized for things portrait photographers care about, like rendering skin tones beautifully and naturally, capturing fine detail like hair or fabric without looking overly harsh, and of course producing that consistently pleasing, creamy bokeh we talked about earlier. You're often buying very specialized performance.
So if someone listening is thinking, okay, I want that classic, definitive portrait look, what sort of focal length range should they realistically be looking at?
Okay, so for listeners shooting on what's called a full frame camera, that's the standard 35 millimeter sensor size, the 85 millimeter focal length is pretty much the undisputed king, the classic choice.
Why 85 millimeter specifically?
It just hits this perfect sweet spot. It gives you enough compression to be really flattering, but still offers a comfortable working distance for typical head and shoulders or half body shots. And the field of view feels quite natural, sort of mimicking how we perceive someone's face during a close conversation. Now, going longer, say to 105 millimeter or 135 millimeter, that extends those benefits, especially the compression and background separation. You get maximum isolation. But the trade-off is they demand significantly more physical space to work in.
Right.
And just a quick note for you, if you happen to be working with a crop sensor camera, like an APS-C or Micro Four Thirds.
Yeah.
To get that same classic perspective and compression effect as an 85 millimeter on full frame, your ideal focal lengths will actually be lower. typically around 55 millimeters for APS-C, or maybe closer to 42 millimeter for Micro Four Thirds, though an 85 millimeter equivalent on crop is still a fantastic portrait lens, just requiring even more space. Check your crop factor.
Okay, that's super helpful context. So let's bring this all together then. What does this mean for the person who's actually, you know, buying the gear, carrying it around? We've talked up all the benefits, but every choice involves some kind of cost or practical trade-off. What are the downsides of embracing these beautiful but long focal lengths?
Yeah, the trade-offs are definitely real, they're tangible, and they usually boil down to, well, let's call them the three big S's: size, sticker shock, and space.
Okay.
First, size and weight. As we touched on, that level of optical quality, especially in longer lenses, requires a lot of precisely ground glass elements. So these lenses are often physically quite large and definitely heavy. They're not as portable as your kit lens or a small prime. They might require a more stable tripod or just be more tiring to carry around all day.
And the sticker shock.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a factor. That top-tier optical engineering and specialized design usually puts these lenses at the higher end, sometimes at the very highest price points in a manufacturer's lens catalog. They're an investment. They absolutely are. But perhaps the biggest practical constraint for many people is simply the space requirement. If you primarily shoot portraits in a small apartment or a cramped home studio, or maybe even in busy urban environments where you can't easily back up, a 135mm or 200mm lens can quickly become frustrating to use. You absolutely must have enough physical distance between you and your subject just to compose the shot properly. And that can be genuinely limiting if you don't have access to a large enough studio or wide open outdoor locations.
So it really sounds like choosing one of these longer focal lengths is a definite commitment. You're committing to maybe managing more weight, a bigger budget, and finding enough space, all in exchange for getting those superior results we've been talking about.
It really is a commitment, but I think the sources strongly suggest it's a worthwhile one, especially for serious portrait photographers. For people dedicated to the craft, these compromises, the size, the cost, the space, they're generally accepted because the outcome is what matters most. And that outcome is consistently flattering results, that superior background separation, and images that just have an undeniable professional look, largely thanks to that beautiful compression and the comfortable working distance it enables.
So this deep dive really shows us, doesn't it, that choosing a focal length isn't just about fitting everything in the frame. It's a much more informed decision. It's about understanding compression, thinking about the comfort of your subject, and knowing the kind of optical quality you need from your gear. So maybe the key takeaway for you listening is, the next time you're setting up for a portrait session, think twice before reaching for that wide lens by default. Maybe try renting or borrowing an 85mm, 105mm, or something even longer if you have the space. Experiment. Your portfolio will almost certainly show the difference.
Absolutely. And maybe here's a final thought for you to mull over. We've talked a lot about the sophisticated optical engineering, the physical glass needed in these specialized larger lenses to get these really accurate, flattering results with good working distance. So how might the current very strong trend towards ever smaller cameras, especially with the incredible advancements in computational photography and software correction in smartphones, how might that trend ultimately challenge or perhaps even reinforce the fundamental need for that true physical working distance and specialized optics when it comes to creating the highest quality, most compelling portraiture? Something to think about.